All right, thank you very much. Well, it's a privilege to be here. Would you turn your Bibles with me, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, while we're turning there, let me just give you a little advertisement on Nebraska, all right? You're in a Bible college. You're trying to decide. You say, why would anyone want to go to Nebraska? That's a good question, But here, we're talking about the ministry, right? So I'm going to tell you about these are towns, cities in Nebraska that do not have an independent Baptist church, all right? So you're out there, you're trying to decide God's will for your life. I know some of you already decided Nebraska is not God's will for your life. I understand that. People just think Nebraska is a long ways away. I took our teenagers one time to a Bible quiz competition, and the other team was asking us, like, Nebraska? Like, how far is that? And I said, it was on a Saturday, I said, well, we left on Tuesday. The first 100 miles were covered wagon, and then we hopped a train. And these teenagers, I think they believed it. You know what I mean? Of course, teenagers are kind of, you know, oh, no, not you guys, but other teenagers we know. But I said, it's only 500 miles. You know, it's like 7 hours if you drive the speed limit, which, of course, I always do. You understand that. Anyway, cities in Nebraska with no independent Baptist church. Now, just so you know, just because there's no independent Baptist church there today doesn't mean there won't be one in 6 months. You understand? Independent Baptists don't have a headquarters. Cerebelli operates on their own. But anyway, it's Columbus, 20,000, no independent Baptist church. South Sioux City, 10,000, no independent Baptist church. West Point, about 45 minutes from me, 5,000, no independent Baptist church. Chadron, 6,500, no independent Baptist church. Gearing, 14,000, no independent Baptist church. Fairbury, 4,500, no independent Baptist church. Elkhorn, suburb really of Omaha, 10,000, no independent Baptist church. So there's a lot of opportunities out there. Now, if you're going to come, don't come unless you plan to stay, all right? Because it won't get done in 18 months, all right? I know we think it can be done in 18 months, but it can't. But anyway, there's some great opportunities out there. And if you'd like to avail yourself of them, not only that, but there's a lot of churches in Nebraska that would help you out. That we understand. We want to see churches started, and we want to see good churches started. And so not my just myself, but others would like you to come. So you think about that and pray about that. If you're interested, you can get my email address after chapel or something. You could email me, and you could kind of discern start to discern what God's will is for your life. We want to go in our Bibles this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to read a passage, and we're going to get down then to the conclusion of the passage, and then we're going to look at how we get to the conclusion of the passage. I want to preach this morning on faithful service rewarded. Faithful service rewarded. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, you follow along as I read. I'm going to start in verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we are willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Now here's the conclusion of this passage, verse 12. It's set off by the word that. This is the purpose clause, okay? That, verse 12, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Now think about this, the purpose, Paul writing to this church at Thessalonica, the word of God here, the purpose is telling us how to work with people, how to be used in the service, in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice it says here in verse 12, here's the conclusion, what Paul wants the Thessalonians to do, that ye would walk worthy. Hey, listen, there's the ministry in a nutshell. The ministry in the nutshell is not who's the biggest person, who's got the biggest ministry. The ministry is reaching people with the gospel and seen them walk worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not in a contest here. We're not shooting for bragging rights. We're trying to reach people. We're trying to help people. And it happens one-on-one, and that's what the ministry is all about. Think about that. Here's the blessing of it. You go to a place, wherever the Lord has called you, you're going to serve the Lord, mission field in America, whatever, and you're trying to reach people, but we're trying to see that those individuals would do what? Walk worthy of the Lord. Live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Make their life count for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a tremendous blessing, isn't it? Well, in the passage, starting in verse 4 down to verse 11, then I find five qualities of people that can see this happen in verse 12. Verse 12 is the conclusion, that ye would walk worthy. We want every one of you to walk worthy. Now, if you're going to be in the ministry, you not only have to walk worthy, your ministry is to help others walk worthy. God is trying to train you for leadership, right? And part of being a leader is that you will definitely be what God wants you to be. You'll walk worthy, and then your testimony, your life, your ministry can help others walk worthy. So there's five qualities. Do you see them with me? First of all, in verse 7, do you see them? In verse 7, it says this, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." The first quality is of someone who is tender. Someone who is tender. Now, this is not a quality usually ascribed to independent Baptists. But we are looking at the Bible this morning, right? So the Bible would be a good standard for us, correct? Right? You're not sure about that, are you? No, it is a good standard. That's an easy question. In my church, I call that a rhetorical question. No answer is needed because we understand the answer. Well, the picture here is what? We understand this picture. We understand this from my own children. You understand this. Maybe you've got younger brothers and sisters. But here's a nurse or a mother taking a little child. How do you handle a little child? With tenderness, don't you? Right? You've got to be careful, right? Sometimes some wives, you know, when they have their first child, you know, they don't trust their husbands with it. You understand? I know none of you guys will be like that. You know what I mean? But here's the picture. Now, we have something in this society, and this happens all the time. It's called what? It's called shaken baby syndrome, where someone takes a little child and they get angry. Maybe they're into some kind of sinful activity, but they get angry at this child. And what do? That child? They just shake it. Do you know that actually causes brain damage in a little child? That's not discipline. That's abuse. You see? And you take a little child. My daughter works in the ER, in Florida, and to be real honest with you, she sees this on a regular basis. A child thrown across the room. How could anyone do that to their own child? And we understand that a little baby, their body's not completely formed, and that brain literally just moves around inside their skull and causes brain damage that will be with them for the rest of their life. Well, what is the Lord trying to teach us here? There's a lesson, right? And there's the lesson. Here's a newborn. We understand the spiritual connection, right? Talking about a new believer, right? Right? And he's saying that we need to be tender with them. Hey, you know something we all have to stop and think about? Now, I said last night, I grew up going to church all the time. Many of you probably did, but we've been in this system, we've been in this environment for a long time, haven't we? I understand how it works. You understand how it works. We understand what preaching is. We understand what a church is. Somebody just got saved last week, does it? They need someone to be, just have a little tenderness. You know that? There's a difference between somebody asking you a question because they don't understand the answer. There's a difference between rebellion and somebody that just doesn't understand. Do you know that? Sometimes if you're not being very careful, you can think it's the exact same thing, but it's not. There's a difference between somebody who knows what's right and will refuse to do it. And this passage is describing someone who's a child, who's a newborn. They don't understand. They don't understand at all. Maybe they've gone to an entirely different church. Maybe they've never gone to a church. Now, we're trying to minister in America. And listen, we are in post-Christian America, however you want to describe it. But years and years of the public school teaching evolution, teaching against the Bible, we have produced an entire generation of people today, little kids, they don't know what John 3:16 is. I had a Bible school. We do Bible schools out in little towns. And I was in a little town, Nickerson, about 10 miles from Fremont. And there was 10 little kids there. We had a Bible school right next to this trailer park, 10 kids. And so we were teaching them some songs, and I said, how many know the verse John 3:16? One kid raised his hand. The kid that raised his hand thought he was a professional wrestler. That's just the way it was. 10 kids, 10 miles from my home, not a woman even heard of John 3:16. That's almost hard for me to believe, but you know what? In the real world, that's the way it is. Where are they ever going to hear about John 3:16? So we had to really do a lot of work before we'd ever get them to understand how they could get saved, because they had never heard anything. Sometimes teaching kids that come to Vacation Bible School in a ministry like this, you can't start with John 3:16. You got to start with, who is God? They've never heard of him. And so the picture here is of a child, of a newborn. A mother would treat that child with love, right? With tenderness, with care. Why? It's her child, right? How are we supposed to treat people? It's just a good quality to develop every once in a while, you know that? To be tender. You know what? If it was your family member, or maybe your convert, somebody that you really cared about, maybe somebody that you prayed for, you'd want somebody to be tender with them, wouldn't you? Take the things of God and teach him. We have all heard the story of D.L. Moody being saved, but of course it was because of a Sunday school teacher that cared about him, right? And he said, listen, I'm not certain that everyone is saved. And so he took Dwight in the back of that shoe store, didn't he? And he led him to the Lord. D.L. Moody, but who led him to the Lord? Edward Kimball, somebody that cared about him. And all of us in our life need to have people who were a blessing to us, who cared about us, who are tender in the things of God. Second of all, the second quality, I must hurry on. Verse 8 is that not only were they tender, but they also had to be truth bearers. Verse 8, notice what it says. So being affectionately desirous of you, we are willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. First of all, there is the message. Do you see that? The gospel of God. The message never changes, because the message comes from the Word of God. But do you see also, it says this in the last part of verse 8, but also our own souls. There's the idea of the messenger. You see that? One man said that preaching is truth wrapped up in a messenger. In other words, God has called people to preach. He's called you and all of us to be soul winners, to be witnesses. You, by sitting here, are saying God may be calling you into full-time service. But let's never think that our job is done just because we've delivered the message. Boy, I don't know all that is entailed in this in verse 8, but I think it's talking about us giving everything we have. Notice what it says, last part of verse 8, but also our own souls. Do you see two times in verse 8, the writer of Scripture talks about how dear and how close and how much of an affinity he had for these believers? The first part of the verse says they were desirous of you, and the last part he said ye were dear unto us. He cared about them, didn't he? He loved them. And they were truth bearers. Sometimes I think that we believe that our job is done when we've delivered the message. Now, we can't change the message we have to deliver, but what God is looking for is somebody who will be a messenger that will actually understand, I've got to give my heart to this. I've got to give my soul to this. I've got to care about this. One time I was out on calling for a Vacation Bible School, and I was had a bunch of teenagers with me, and I was dropping them off in the van, and I was swinging around, and I saw a little kid, like a 10, 11-year-old kid, and so I leaned out of the van, and I said, hey, would you like to come to Vacation Bible School? Kid goes, I don't know, what is it? And I said, well, Bible stories, songs, my favorite part, cookies and Kool-Aid, and nothing about Twinkies, but just cookies and Kool-Aid. And I said, but, you know, we have a lot of fun. He said, boy, he said, I'd like to come to that. I said, well, where's your mom at? Let's go find her. He said, so he just took off running. Well, I had one of those big old vans. It took me a while to get it turned around, you know. Even in Nebraska, we got laws in the road, you know. Not a lot of them, but anyway, we do. And so I swung up. When I got to the door, he was already inside, and his mother said, no, you cannot go. You've got baseball on Monday and Wednesday. And, of course, he's going to be in the major leagues one day, so he can't miss baseball practice. You understand that? And I said, listen, if you can't come Monday and Wednesday, that's all right. I said, you can still come Tuesday and Thursday and Friday. He said, I can? I don't have to come every day? I said, we'd love to have you come. He went back in, and the mom said, no again. I could hear. She wasn't coming to the door, but I could hear that she was not going to let that kid come. And so I was standing there waiting for this to play out, I kind of noticed some kids over there, and so I was getting ready to go over there, and the kid came to the door and says, I can't go. My mom just won't let me. I said, that's all right, buddy. I understand. I started to walk away, and he said, hey, mister, do you think I could come next year? Hey, you know what happened next year? He wasn't at the same place. I can't find the kid. He had moved. You understand, sometimes these situations, they move quite a bit. So I don't even know if he was in Fremont. Sometimes I can usually find him by the end of the week of Vacation Bible School because we kind of go all after it that week. But you know what? I think about that kid quite a bit. He'd be about 15 or 16 now. Hey, you know what? He wanted to come. Probably going into fifth grade. I tell you what would have happened if he would have came. He'd have got saved the first or second day. You know, those older kids, they can pick up the gospel pretty quickly. You know that? And we're there for 3 hours, and so there's a lot of chances to explain the gospel. I think about that kid quite a bit. I don't know where he's at, but he wanted to come, but he couldn't. All I'm talking about, friends, is in verse 7 we need to be tender, but in verse 8 we not only need to deliver the message, but we have to deliver ourselves. We have to really be all in. We have to care about it. We have to be concerned about it. Notice with me, thirdly, the third quality is they were tireless. Do you see it in verse 9? For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. That verse just sounds like work, doesn't it? Sounds like the ministry to me. Verse 9 says, labor and travail, laboring night and day. They were hard at it, weren't they? They weren't the kind of people that were punching a time clock, but they were concerned about what was really going to happen in the lives of people. They cared about them. David Brainerd, missionary, passed away at age 29, just ministered for 3 years among the Indians, slept out in the snow, died of tuberculosis. Great book, the story of his life. And some people would say died in the 1700s. He died so young, his life was just a waste. But he wrote a book, The Life and Diary of David Brainerd. And that book was in the hands of every great missionary in the 1800s. Hernheim Judson had it in Burma. William Carey had it in India. J. Hudson Taylor had it in China. On and on the story goes. So it's not really a life that was wasted, was it? It was a life that was invested. And God, who knows our beginning and our end, right? He knows our down-sitting and our uprising. God knows everything about us. And some of those great old missionary giants, I tell you what they were tireless for the cause of Christ. Hernheim Judson, 34 years in Burma, only came back to the U.S. one time, 7 years before his first convert. I know you've heard the story, but we need to remind ourselves every once in a while of what those old-time missionaries went through, what they did, how they sacrificed. Conditions, not even the way they are today, but conditions back in those days, many of his children passed away on the mission field. He sacrificed. He went without. When he came back to the U.S., he was here for a little while, and he said, I got to get back to Burma. I can't stand being in the U.S. His heart was given to the ministry and was given to people. That's what he's describing here in verse 9 of someone who is tireless for the cause of Christ. And we need people today. We need to raise up people today that will understand that the ministry is work, and it's hard work. It's enjoyable work, but it is still work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone that will give themselves to it. Notice with me the fourth quality is that they had a testimony in verse 10. A testimony in verse 10. It says, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Notice in verse 10, first of all, people are watching. Ye are witnesses. Unsaved people and saved people are watching. They are watching everything we do. Do you know that? Even people that are not, have not come to church, will not, in our minds, will not ever be interested in coming to church. They are watching everything we do, how we do it, how we carry ourselves, what kind of testimony we have. Not only verse 10 says, are people watching, but also it says, God is watching. Ye are witnesses, and, verse 10, God also. Now, there's three words that describe their testimony right there in verse 10. They were holy, they were just, and they were unblameable. The idea is to be blameless, one of the qualities of being a pastor. It means to have literally nothing that sticks. In other words, a good testimony. And we need people with a good testimony. We need people that will that can live somewhere in an area, a foreign country, somewhere in America, can live there for 5, 10, 15, 20 years and still have a good testimony just as good as the day you started. Now, this involves simple things like paying your bills, being a good neighbor, you know, in America, certain places, mowing your lawn, taking care of things, you know. I live in Nebraska, shoveling the sidewalk. You say, oh, that doesn't really matter. It does too matter. People are watching over those things. They're saying, well, this guy says he's a Christian. This guy wants me to come to church. This guy has something that for me, well, they're going to watch everything you do. Do you know that? And the Apostle Paul said, these individuals in Thessalonica, you know our testimony. What kind of testimony do you have? We have to really ask ourselves, what kind of testimony? Some churches down through the years, different situations, different circumstances, because of difficulties in the church, they don't have any testimony in the town. I heard of one guy who took over a church, this is years and years ago, took over a church and the church hadn't been able to pay the bills. He went out and tried to go sowing and he realized they couldn't go sowing in that town. He went to church and he said, we can't go sowing for 6 months till we get these bills taken care of. You know, they owed people in the town. They owed stores. And people knew about it. You've got to protect your testimony. Do you know that? You've got to protect your walk. People are watching you. People are observing you all the time. There's a testimony. We should have a testimony now. And you need to build in your life right now things in your life that will help you to have a good testimony. The last one is in verse 11. And that is that the person who serves the Lord must also be tough. Verse 11, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted, and here it is, and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Three words to describe what the father's ministry is. The word exhort means literally to come alongside or to encourage. The word to comfort means in different situations you're going to have to comfort them, but it says there to charge them, to give them a charge, to tell them what to do, to tell them how to live, to tell them how to serve, to tell them how to walk. We need people that can be tough and tender at the same time. It's in the same passage, so I think it applies to all of us, doesn't it? And we need to ask the Lord to help us. Boy, so many exciting places to serve the Lord today. What a great time it is to serve the Lord. Difficult days? Yes. But difficult days call forth the best in people. Difficult days in America? I think so. I don't understand. I don't predict what's going to happen in the future, but I do believe we're headed for some persecution days in this country. This country is changing right before our very eyes. But you know what's needed more than ever? Young people like you that will live for the Lord Jesus Christ. That will have a solid testimony and say, you know what? In the midst of all this confusion, you know, Supreme Court doing all kinds of things and passing laws in this country we can't understand, you know what? There's still a place for someone to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Still a place where you can build a ministry and a work for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it all comes down to those five qualities all lead to us one day saying what verse 12 says. That ye would walk worthy of God. Think about that. You know something? The ministry is kind of like this. You invest in people's lives, and some people disappoint you. Some people don't go forward for the Lord. But you invest in people's lives, and then you can just, in the rest of your life, spend your life clipping coupons. Here's people living for the Lord. What a blessing that is. People have gone out from our church. Not a big church, not a church that anybody knows. Hey, we even hardly know about it. We're there all the time. But you know what? We've had people go out to serve the Lord. Hey, I tell you what, that's exciting. You know that? Disappointments? Sure. People that fell by the wayside? Unfortunately, yes. But you know what? Blessings along the way. Hey, you know what? That's what the verse 12 is talking about, isn't it? That ye would walk worthy. It's not about who's a big shot or whatever. It's about being used of the Lord. It's about being used of God. It's about being a faithful servant for the Lord Jesus Christ. My grandmother, my mother's mom, was a prayer warrior. She prayed every day right after lunch in her chair. I can still see her in her chair. She passed away in 1975. I can still see her praying in that chair, and she prayed for me to go in the ministry. She started praying before I was born, never told me, even though I did spend a lot of time at her house, never told me she was praying for. She passed away before I ever surrendered to go in the ministry. But you know what? There's not a day goes by and not a Sunday goes by I don't think about that lady in that chair, that grandmother, praying for me. She wants me to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? I don't want to let her down. I want to live for the Lord too. And God has a place for you to serve. You say, well, I might not be as talented as somebody else, but you can be just as faithful. I might not have the ability that someone else has. You know, like that joke that Brother Armacost says, sing a part. You know, that offends me. You know that? Just a little bit, you know. I was standing next to him. I see that he's in the choir, so he obviously knows what parts are, you know. But I sing in the choir too, but they don't let me make much noise in my church. You understand? Just because I'm the pastor, I get to be in the choir. You understand how that works. But hey, listen, God has a place for you, young people. Is it hard? Sure, it's going to be hard. Anything worthwhile is going to be difficult. You know that? But God is calling you to serve Him, that you can produce people that will walk worthy of God. Let's pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. We're going to have an invitation. Maybe God has spoken to your heart. God is dealing in your life. And there's a decision that you need to make. Now is maybe the time. Maybe God's calling you to something specific. I don't know your situation or the circumstance of your life or ministry, but God is dealing in your heart and life, and there's a decision you need to make.